drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagles, and fly. So spread your wings, little eagle, and fly.
You weren't born. Soar in the sky.
Don't let your trials get you down.
Drive your spirit to the ground.
Mount up with wings, little eagles, and fly.
It's time to fly. How many of you are glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Are you glad God saved you? Are you glad He gave you a desire to come to His house? Are you glad He's the best thing that ever got a hold of you? Give Him a good hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Praise the Lord. Now why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand. Greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church on Saturday night. What a privilege that it is. Boys, play some more. I believe we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to set a real good atmosphere for Brother Donnie to come out and bring the word of the Lord. We want to do that, don't we? We want to do whatever pleases our Lord. Is that right? Is that right tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. Hallelujah. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit. We've got several prayer requests tonight we want to let you know about. Sister Martha Ann says that I have an urgent, unspoken prayer request. Earnestly desire my Lord Jesus' perfect will to be done. So let's just ask God to give her peace in her heart, and may he lead her with whatever decision needs to be made. I'm sure he's able to help her, aren't you? Amen. Amen. Brother Keith Strayer having an MRI on Wednesday. They're asking that we would pray for that need tonight. Remember the family of Brother Robert Dunbar, who passed away today. Some of you may remember him, a minister in Brother Roy Shrewsbury's assembly, and just a good brother. So we pray for that family, that the Lord would be mindful of them, that their church family, that the Lord would comfort their hearts. Tina Gibby says to please pray for Clinton Gibby. He's in the hospital in Augusta, Georgia, has a heart valve that is leaking. The doctors will decide on Monday what procedure will be best in his situation. So let's pray for that need tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of Brother Clinton Gibby. God is certainly able to meet that need. Johnny Mayo sends this in to please pray for David Gampfler. I hope I got that name close to right, who is having bypass surgery. Also for other members of the family, they are from Mobile, Alabama. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. God will be mindful of them. Sister Linda Maxwell turns this in for Brother Jim Maxwell. He has some decisions to be made concerning his toe. Also, he has an infection. It would be best that there were no visitors at this time, but we certainly can pray for Brother Jim, can't we? Just a precious, precious brother, precious family, and we just love the Maxwell family, don't we? Amen. I want to pray for Sister Estep. She's been having very weak spells for the past several days, having trouble regaining her strength. Let's pray that God would give her strength in her body. The family of Sister Linda Kennedy would like everyone to pray for her. She's been suffering very bad for the past few days. It seems that her time to cross over may be getting close. We're asking for the Lord's will, as we hate to see her go, but we don't want to see her suffering. So let's pray for Sister Linda Kennedy, that family, that the Lord would let his perfect divine will be brought about. I'm certain that he will do that, aren't you? Amen. I want to pray for Brother Bert, Sister Barbara Gravely. Both are in need of prayer for pain tonight, so let's remember those requests. I want to remember Sister Judy Davis in prayer. She's not feeling good this evening. We'll just commit that need unto the Lord. Certainly want to continue to pray for Brother Charlie Therese, that the Lord would just give our brother strength in his body, and all those that are sick in our local assembly here, we just pray that God would be with them and give them healing, that may they receive their healing in their body. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. How many of you know God's able to meet all the needs? You believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight. Brother Rob, come tonight. Take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. We just commit all these things unto the Lord. Amen. Certainly appreciate Brother Rob Weber, don't we?
Let's pray. Dear Lord, once again we come before you in prayer with thanksgiving in our hearts. We're coming together as one body. Lord Jesus, we're thankful to come to church tonight. We're thankful, Lord, that we can come and have prayer requests, a place to bring our requests of you. I thank you for your spirit, Lord. It flows through the body so perfectly, so beautifully. I thank you for the Bible school all last week and the spirit of tenderness. And Lord God, help us to fight to keep that tenderness among the youth and among the church body as well. As we sang about the eagle, Lord, we also have a scream in this eagle that shouts truth, Lord, to a dying world. I pray for these prayer requests. I thank you, Lord, for the requests that are made. I thank you for the testimonies that they will be. I thank you, Lord, with faith, believing, Lord, that we bind ourselves to you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Make this announcement. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor, we certainly want to welcome you to our assembly tonight. Pray that you will receive a blessing. And those that will be streaming the service, we pray that the service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Brother Michael Bailey says that there will be no Sunday school tomorrow morning. So remember that. Be no Sunday school tomorrow morning. So remember that.
Now, I didn't go to the Bible school, but I understand it was a tremendous, tremendous success. And without naming names and getting myself in trouble with some folks, all of you that went, all of you that participated, all of you that helped make it possible, all of you that worked diligently the whole week, we want to say thank you. We appreciate you. Give them a nice hand tonight. We certainly do appreciate it. I know it was an effort of love, and well, our young people, we just thank God for our young people. Our children, our young people, we're so blessed. We're a blessed congregation. Do you believe that with all your heart? As I've often said, and you believe it too, we're not all of it, but I'm so glad we're part of it. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Praise the Lord. And Sister Carol, we want to say thanks be to the Lord for making your surgery a success. I'm sure Brother Donnie will address that and offer his thanks. But we just want to say thank the Lord for that. You know, I catch myself a lot of time thinking, boy, I'm just really having a hard time. Now I look around, I don't have to look far to see somebody that's really having a hard time. And you know, God has been so good to us. God is so great to us. And I know we're a church of various personalities, various attitudes, various differences, but I'm so glad that God has put us together to worship Him on this hill right here. Are you glad to be part of this assembly? Are you glad God made you part of it? About the only thing I can say and really mean from my heart, I've got so much to thank Him for and so little to complain about. Does that fit you? Somebody say it ain't nothing but the truth. Praise the Lord. Do you love the Lord tonight? Give Him one more hand clap of praise. Amen. And I've got so much to praise Him for, so much to praise Him for, you see. He's been so good to me. When I think of what He's done and where He brought so much to thank Him for.
Once again, oh, I've got
so much to thank Him for.
So much.
So much to praise Him for. You see, He's been so good to me. Has done for me, I know I'm unworthy of them all. Oh, but His blessings He freely gives. I owe my life to Him. I've got so much, Lord, I want to thank You for. To thank Him for,
so much
to praise Him for. You see, He has been so good to me. When I think of what He's done and where He brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. Sometimes while on this way I need
I stop and say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And one day I'm gonna reach heaven, so oh please let me kneel once more. I've got so much oh to thank him for. Oh, I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see, he's been so good to me. When I think of what he's done and where he brought me from, I've got so much to thank. Sometimes while on this way I kneel, I stop and say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And one day when I reach heaven's shore, oh please let me kneel once more. So much to thank him for.
Well, I've got
so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see,
he's been
so good to me. Done and where he brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for.
And I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over.
Separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
Yes, now
I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad. Separates the darkness from the light.
Yes, I'm so glad
I crossed over in time. I was traveling along the back roads. I was headed in the wrong direction. Satan was sure he had my soul lost and bound. But through God's love and mercy, his grace turned me around. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for so good of a participation in this service tonight. You just done good. I'm proud of you. I appreciate you. God bless you. You can be seated. We're going to have a couple of songs tonight. The Weber Bunch. Ever who they are and ever how they've got it put together, they're going to come and sing for you tonight. There they come.
Give them a nice hand tonight as they get ready to sing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then Sister Erica has a song for us tonight. Looking forward to just a couple of good songs. We'll go right on into the service. Give them one more hand tonight as they get ready to sing.
His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's son would die to save a wretch like me. One love divine, he gave his life for mine. His scars of suffering brought me healing. He spilt his blood to fill my soul.
For mine.
See them after church, and you tell them, before you tell them how much you enjoyed it, bless them out real good for not singing more. Let's stand tonight. No, don't really bless nobody yet, but we do appreciate our songs tonight. We got some good singers in this assembly. We really do. We certainly do. Let's sing a little chorus as our bodyguard gets ready to come tonight and bring us the word of the Lord. You glad we got a bodyguard like we got? Praise the Lord. Amen.
All night, all day.
Let's see if we can sing this little song tonight as Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring us the word. Yes, it's all night, all day. Angels are watching over me, my Lord. Yes, it's all night, all day. Angels are watching over me. Yes, it's all night, all day. Angels are watching over me, my Lord. Yes, it's all night, all day. Angels are watching over me. Well, it's all night, all day. Angels are watching over me.
You realize in saying that, it doesn't mean that they keep you from ever going through stress, trouble. I think people misunderstand protection from the Lord and things like that sometimes. I think God never allows accidents, as we'd call it, and hard times and difficult times to happen to Christians. But there is no such promise in the Word. We've made that up. How many of your parents bought bicycles for your kids when they're little? You cruel people. You are so hard-hearted. You mean to tell me you bought your kids bicycles knowing they could fall and hurt themselves? Break an arm or a leg, or run over you and break your leg, which is even more dangerous than theirs. Why would you do that, Brother Harold? Why would you ever allow your children to get up off the floor and stop crawling and try to walk? I believe you people are some of the meanest people I've ever seen in my life. But you know as well as I know, if that kid don't get up off that floor and stop walking, you're going to start walking, you're going to take it to the doctor, you're going to turn in prayer requests. You're going to be so worried. Even though if God answers your prayers, it means more likely a kid's going to fall. It's going to hurt itself. It's the same with us. But this is the thing about it. You know, other people out here, they go through all kinds of stuff too. But the devil don't promise he'll be with them and help them. As a matter of fact, more likely he'll make it worse on them. But Jesus tells us, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way to the end of the world. Oh my. Don't you love him and appreciate him for that? Let's turn to the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 7. I'm going to get off his series one of these days. No hurry. Me either, actually. I'm enjoying it. Amen. I guess you're just glad there's not 175 chapters to the Song of Solomon. In the millennium, I'd still be preaching on it. Part 3,895. I'm glad, friends, we broke into that kind of word, aren't you? Don't you feel sorry for people who go to church and the preacher preaches about 15 minutes? That's all they got to say. And it's warmed up leftovers from some denominational headquarters. Oh my. Listen carefully now. chapter 4, verse 7. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. That within itself is a complete miracle. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon, look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shemir and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Oh my goodness. If we could get a revelation tonight by the grace of God of how that interprets to our lives and what it means to us as an individual, we'll walk out of the Happy Valley Church tonight a different people than when we came in. But I grant you, it'll take God to help us. You'll have to look beyond yourself. You'll have to look beyond me. You'll have to look beyond the people that are sitting around you in order for God to be able to illuminate this word to our hearts. How many wants Him to help you as we're here? Let's just bow our heads together. Gracious Lord Jesus, how we love you tonight, Father. We are so thankful once again for the opportunity that's been granted to us that we could assemble in the presence of the great King. We count it an honor to be able to come together with your children, Lord. We ask you tonight, Father, that you would help us. May you take your word and anoint us, Father. Lord, I pray that you would anoint me, but Lord God, the people need to be anointed as well. I pray, God, that you would just help me to move aside, and may the human element move over. I know that I can only move aside as much as the individualized gift that you gave me will allow me to. But I pray that you would help me, Lord, that I can be able to reach the ultimate of my ability tonight. And then, Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would help them, that they can be able to hear. It'll not just be their ears and their understanding, but it'll be the presence of God that will be able to hear through them. Father, we love you so much. I pray not only for the visible audience, but for the invisible audience of those around the world that stream this and that'll go back and archive. It may be a blessing to your people, Lord. We love you so much. Speak to us tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said, God bless you. You may be seated. Brother Brad, you might want to take this down just a fuzz. How could God ever marry anyone that would be a perfect match to himself? Even before Adam and Eve ever fell in the Garden of Eden, there would have been such a distinct difference between them and Papa. Now, even though Adam was made in his image, he was still made with the element or the ability to err. However God designed and created Adam's being, it was created with the element or the space by which time would bring out something in this man that shows he could fall. Whatever it was that God held back from Adam, that perfected image, was he perfect? Yes. In one sense, he was. Was he one with God? He was. But whatever it was that he had, he could lose. Whatever it was that he was created to rise to, he could fall from. So God could never, never be united eternally to a people who were created only in part to perfection, but be able to fall from that perfection to such a horrible state. Now, to think that Adam, with the very image of God in him, he would rise to the focus of the hour and come and take his bride's place, and God could not smite her because of him. That was notable. That was wonderful. But yet, he could lose that. So, in one moment of time, he was willing to forfeit everything that he had. A few hours later, he would turn around and blame God for giving her to him in the first place. So he could stand in this high place. He could be created in this high place and fall from it. In my mind, I go back to another being who was created in such a position. And you know his name. You know him now as Satan. But he was actually Lucifer, or Lightbringer, Daystar, as it was. Created to such a high place, a place of magnificence and honor, right next to God himself. Power? Yes. Understanding? Yes. Greater than Daniel. Wisdom? Much wisdom. Power, relevance, authority, dignity, honor, absolutely. Given the greatest place in heaven next to God. But yet, with the same potential of able to lose that holy place. Then my mind goes to those beings. He is the arche, or archangel. First in a preeminent order. But there is others that fall under that preeminent one. They were angels, of course, that were less than Lucifer. They were less than the elect angels, and they also were given a great place of preeminence, a place of authority, a place of power, a place of great relevance in the kingdom of God. But there again, they could fall from all the relevance that they had. They could fall from the economy of God by which they were created to obtain for only a measure of time. Now remember, these angels were placed on a very similar basis to that of Adam, in the sense it was a place to where it was a proving ground. It was a position by which God knew that both Adam and them would fall from. So he could never bring them to this spot and leave them there in an eternal realm. Never. So God allowed it to be on a probation type of period. There they were in time. Could have been thousands of years. We don't know. But whatever it was that God allowed them to have, God knew that they would fall from it. But God is not restoring us back to a position like that again, to where we would go through all of this struggle of life and all of this struggle of so many years, that God would deal with us and bring us back into heaven, back into the holy presence of God, and then something would happen again and we would cause the fall and we'd lose every bit that we gained, and here we go through this cycle one more time. But what God is doing now is going past, and has been doing, of course, for several thousands of years or several millennia, in that he is bringing it back to where Adam was and back to where those angels were in the sense of the holy image of God, but actually taking it a step further and bringing it back into the spot of eternity, to where your soul can never fall from that.
Now, the great thing about it is our bodies have not yet arrived, but for those of you who have the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight, your soul is already there. You've already crossed the line into eternity. I hope this don't stumble you tonight, but you're already farther back than what Adam was in the beginning. Because whatever it was that Adam had, I've never myself been able to clearly identify totally what Adam had, in the sense of he was an eternal person with God. I know that. Was it a baptism of the Holy Ghost and His Spirit? I don't know exactly what it was, but whatever it was, he was able to lose it. He could fall from it and actually be out of that position. When you study in the scripture, you realize that God attributed greater attributes to Abel than he ever did to Adam after the fall. Very, very few things are actually mentioned about Adam in a very positive way after the fall. There's much more said about Abel than there is about Adam. But yet you know now that Adam was a son of God. God could have created him thus to where he could never fall from that position, but the perfection of God would have never been revealed had he placed him in that spot. You understand? Now you realize that it makes us to understand that apparently the perfection of God has been completed finally if he's closing it out in this Gentile dispensation. It does not need to go any further to reveal the greatness of his character. He has finally reached the completion of what he wanted it to be. My, that ought to make us so happy. To know that he has reached the goal of what he wanted to accomplish and everything will be fulfilled. There's no need to go again. There's no need to let anybody else fall. There's no need for time to go on any longer, but it will roll right back into eternity again. Now, what God gave to Adam was a wonderful, notable thing by creation, but he was able to fall from that. But looking now at what we're comparing into the wedding night of the bride and the groom, and the relevance that God brings to us, now it takes our getting out of the way to allow the Spirit of God to anoint our thinking. Because what we would tend to do is think in time, and every time that we wind up thinking in time, we always limit the greatness of our God. God chooses time in order to express many attributes. Of course, we know that. But we must move beyond time in order to be able to really relate to what God wants us to do. And since Paul has said that we're moving from glory to glory, even here in the wedding night, we see that the Shulamite is moving to another stage of the glory which was given to her by Solomon. It was a great glory which had been given to her for him to take an interest in her. But yet that glory excelled whenever he espoused her to himself. So she moved from the glory of the introductory stage into the glory of the espousal stage. But now she's moved into another glory because she is sitting here with the wedding garment on. So it's from glory to glory to glory, and she's being changed into the image of what he wanted her to be. Amen. Same thing with you and I by the grace of God. Now, many of you, whenever the Lord started dealing with your heart, maybe you start out as a Baptist or a Methodist or something like that, and we believe that God dealt with our hearts then, do we not? Many of you remember when God got a hold of you. Maybe you went to a Baptist church somewhere or a Lutheran church and something actually touched you and really made a difference in your life. It might have been a small difference, but it was a difference. And the Spirit of God started revealing part of himself to you, so that was a breaking forth of the glory of God in your life. Then you begin to hear about sanctification, or maybe you went to a Pentecostal church and you thought, my, there can never be anything any greater than this. So you was actually moving from glory to glory to glory. And then whenever you came to the introduction of the message of the hour, and you begin to hear about God sending a prophet and the great things that he had to say, and you thought, wow, this is absolutely the greatest thing that's ever been. But if you've grown in the word at all, you realize that we've grown in the glory, the excelsior as it's called, and the glory of God. Even coming into this message, because used to the focus was how great Brother Branham was, and my, what a great ministry he has, and we still thank God for all of that. But yet we've come to realize the message of the hour is not just focusing on Brother Branham. It's not focusing on the Branham Tabernacle. It's not just focusing on Brother Branham's family. It's focusing on the family of God, not the prophet's family. This message is more than the prophet's family. It's more than the pastor's family, the deacon's family. It's about the family of God. Anybody say amen to that? Now, what is that doing? Then we are changing from glory to glory. So as we view predestination, we begin to get in our understanding a little bit about predestination. Then God expands it to foreknowledge. God expands it to election. God expands it to choice. God expands it in all these things. So the glory of God, it reveals itself further and further. And as we come closer and closer to Him, as she's sitting in the presence of Solomon, so is the glory of Solomon being now more revealed to her, which is exactly what God wants to do by His word into our hearts. As we move from one glory to another glory, so we do as a body, so do we as an individual. We not only do it by shouting and praising God and all that, but we actually are able to move from glory to glory in our trials, because the strength of our trials that we go through now and how frequently they come anymore, that proves that we've also moved into another phase of glory. If God would have let you and I go through the things that we go through now and let that happen to us 10, 15 years ago, it would have destroyed most of us. We would have never been able to win through it. But now we go through one thing and we get it behind us, and before that thing ever gets done, you're facing another thing. And the doctor tells you one link of bad news, and then he comes back in the next day and tells you another deal of bad news. Why, 10 years ago, that would have devastated you, but your faith has moved into another stage of glory. Now, I know we may not look at it as glory, but that is the glory of God as He's revealing Himself to you through the strength of your trials. You understand? The strength of our trials is the personification of God's faith in us that helps us when we otherwise would give up. We think, there's no need for me to try. There's no need for me to go on. Why should I even do it? But the strength of God's own faith in us is revealed from test to test, from glory to glory. The prophet says it this way: test after test, trial after trial, test after test, trial after trial. Whenever he's tried you, then you shall come forth like gold. And that is a revealing of the glory of God. Now here the Shulamite is sitting as she's listening to the great, beautiful words of the king, and how Solomon no doubt could put those words together. Oh my, just to be able to elevate an individual. But remember, he wants her to move now, also not by words alone, but into a personification of this glory change. Must move now from espousal to the position of wife. Because she's going to move into a different type of glory. Now, you know how it is when every young boys and girls, and remember they get engaged, and one of the first things that the girl does, you know, she wants to go around and showing everybody a ring. Look at this, look at that. Put it on Facebook, you know, and all these different things. What is that? Now, she moved from the boy's girlfriend over into another stage of glory. Now, that glory is personified by diamond, which is placed upon her hand, and she saw smiles, and you sisters meet her out there. Oh, that is so beautiful. That is, oh my, that is so pretty. Sometimes it ain't, but you say it is anyway. And oh, it's so pretty. That's the night you think, that's the ugliest ring I've ever seen in my life, but I'm about to tell her that, because she's got that glory all over her face. Right? You understand? Now, you sisters remember whenever you was given your engagement ring, it might not have been very big at all. Mine, Carol, I tell you one thing, when I bought Carol one, whenever we got engaged to get married and all that, it was so little you'd have to have I don't know what to even find it. I'm not sure it's even a diamond, but that's all that I could afford. But yet she was as happy as if it was a big old gigantic thing. But the glory of that was revealed upon her face. You understand? It's the same with us. When the glory of God is revealed in the stages of the word, that it also brings on a personification to us, that I'm not just saved, I'm not just going to heaven, but I'm a spouse to Him. I'm part of the elect. I'm part of the body of God. And then when it moves from that spot to where Paul says in 2 Corinthians that he had espoused them to Christ, but he said, I want to be able to present you also. So the espousal and the presentation was two different things. And once a person by revelation can realize, you know what? I'm a part of this. This is who I am. This is not just maybe I'm bride or possibly I'm bride, but I think I'm finally beginning to realize I am bride. I'm part of this thing. I'm part of the reason. You know what it does? It should bring that glory change in upon our very image, that in the middle of trials, we still say, praise God, He's with me. Somehow He's going to help me. I don't understand why this happens and that happens. What is it? Then the glory of God has moved. Now, well, perhaps I'm bride. Maybe I'm bride. No, now I know I'm bride. So even in the midst of trials, I'm still going to look like bride and let the glory of God reveal itself upon my very face. Amen. Now, you know that young Christians, that's so impossible for it to happen to them because that comes with maturity and trust. So if we moved up to that spot, we ought to be so grateful to God tonight. Now, the glory of God then desires to bring us past a stage or an understanding of just being forgiven. Beyond the stage of just living, trying to live a Christian life as good as we can, and knowing then all the things that overcome us, and we'll get sorry and all, we'll feel so bad. Oh God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And for some folks, that's what they think a Christian life is. That it's making mistakes constantly all the time, repenting all the time, getting forgiveness all the time, and they think that's as high as they can live. And that is a glory by which God reveals himself to us initially, and that's as far as we can comprehend. If God put before us that there's a way we can live every day in this life without sin dominating us, it's us dominating sin, that would discourage most young converts that think there's no way I can do it. And you know what? I agree with them. And neither can I do it. As far as I can recollect and understand, there's only one person that can live a Christian life, and that's Christ himself. You cannot live a Christian life. I cannot live a Christian life. But if Christ lives in me, it's not me doing it anyhow. It's not you doing it. It is Christ in me, the hope of glory. So Christ living his life out of me, what difference is that? And him living it out of you or Brother Branham or somewhere else. The thing is me learning how to surrender and realizing that it's not me anyway. And not accepting the ideology from the devil. Well, you have to be defeated. You have to have a few sins in your life. You have to live down. You have to do this, that, and other. No, 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 no. I want you to show me one scripture where the Bible tells me I have to live a defeated life. I want you to show me where the Bible tells me that I have to be dominated by some type of besetting sin. No, no, no. I do not have to have besetting sin. You do not have to have besetting sin. You do not have to be controlled by temper or pornography or laziness or any other thing. You do not, because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost wants to control your body and bring your flesh subject to the presence of God. Right? Now, is that a greater glory than the young convert that just comes to Christ? Certainly it is. But for those of us who are walking in that spot, many of you are, and have been there for many, many years, you ought to thank God for it. You ought to thank God that you realize you don't have to live a life under control of sin. But Brother Donnie, you've been telling us that our body's not born again. That's right, and I'm going to tell you again tonight, it still ain't born again. But that's the great thing about it. Even though it ain't born again, the Holy Ghost makes it mine, the Word. But Brother Donnie, what if I make mistakes and the Holy Ghost makes you repent? You're still minding the Word. That's right. Well, what if I get upset? And what if I say, give somebody a piece of my mind? And I do this, that, or that. I ask God to forgive you and make it right and go on. And say, God, by your grace, I don't want to do that again. Lord, I want to live the kind of life that if you were to come this moment, if you was to come 5 minutes from now, I'm going to be ready. Or if you tarry for 50 years from now, I'm still going to be ready. Or if I go by the way of the grave, I'm still going to be ready. It makes no difference to me. Amen. Now, living that kind of a life, you know, it's not us as the Pharisees or the Sadducees coming to this holy consecrated place. Well, I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't drink coffee and I don't drink Pepsi and I don't do this, that, and other. I'm not talking about nothing you do or don't do. I'm talking about you submitting yourself to the Holy Ghost and being born again. And that life in you convicts you and leads you. Friends, we are held. The bride is a garden. We know that. Eve was a garden inside a garden. So the bride is a garden inside the garden. And there is a garden wall and there is a garden gate. But that garden wall is not a prison house to the bride. There's not guards that are standing there. If you stick your head out beyond that, they blow your head off with a 410 shotgun. It is a free moral agency. You don't go out because you don't want to go out. God don't have to put bulldogs and pit bulls and, you know, all kinds of things on the outside and scaring you to death. You're here tonight because you wanted to come. You live right because you're born of the Spirit of God. I'm talking about those of you that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, some of you may go, well, Brother Donnie will preach on me. The deacons will get after me. Well, let me just say this. You need to move up to another glory if that's the only reason you're doing it. But for those of you that are born again, it's a new life created in you by the Master himself. It's his life. It's his life, and it gave birth to that seed gene. That seed gene was to be you before the foundation. face of the world. And your first husband died, which released you from the law of that husband. And then God, by breath of life, come in and overshadowed that seed gene, and he married you at your new birth. Well, hallelujah. He married you at your new birth. And what are you doing? You're growing and growing and growing. And you're going on until one day these bodies will be changed by the power of God. What is the body change? It is only a further stage of where you are tonight. How much farther do we have to go? I don't know, Brother Warren, but I know we're going to get there by God's grace, because I see where he's brought me from, I see what he's brought me to, and I know he can take me out of what I need to become. Why? Because it's not me, it's not you, it is him. He has begun this good work in us, and he will finish it. Now, I realize what causes misunderstanding among the message folks, and even sometimes the message preachers, is because the glory of God. Now, I hope this don't offend you, but God reveals his glory even to preachers as he will. Every preacher is not on the same plateau in God. God chooses whoever he wants to do whatever he wants, and he don't really ask us if we like it or not. And there are men that have great understanding about election and predestination. And there might be other men. There is no man, I don't care how much you think in your mind, this one certain preacher understands the greatest revelation of everybody in the message. You are a Catholic. You are not an apostolic believer. If you really believe the apostolic way, read your New Testament, and you'll find that James understood certain things that Paul didn't. You'll find that Paul emphasized certain things that Peter didn't. John emphasized certain things. Why? That's the way God does it. Because we need them all. There ain't but one person that understands everything perfectly, and that's the Lord Jesus. All the rest of us know in part, and we prophesy in part. So there are some that God gives an understanding of, say, the seven seals and the seven thunders. My, you just listen to them preach. And think, wow, that is tremendous. That is so good. And other brothers will touch on it and they'll preach on it. But it's like it's not the scope of what God has them to focus. And it can be the same thing about election. It can be the same thing about the contrast of the new birth and the natural birth. Then if God gives a man an understanding of the contrast between the new birth and the natural birth, and other even preachers sometimes will hear bits and pieces of what that man has to say about it, it'll leave them confused. Because then they'll think, is he preaching that you can't live a victorious life? Is he preaching that that nature dominates over you? You know, what's the man saying? Well, if they listen very long, if he's a God-called man, they'd hear him say, no, that ain't what he's preaching. But many times it's because of the glory that God reveals. Other men, my, look at Brother Darrell and different ones, how that God uses them in faith. I'll tell you, friends, y'all going to be surprised when these days when we stand before the throne of God and you find out how many miracles, how many signs, and how many wonders have come forth from the ministry of Brother Darrell Ward. Brother Darrell don't go around talking about it. He don't go around telling everybody about it and publishing it on radio and TV and this and that and the other. But there is miracles and signs and wonders that comes out of that man's ministry that you would not believe. We ought to thank God to have such a man identified with us. Right. God anoints him to do so. God anoints him to pray for people, and great things happen. You know, other men, do they love God? They do. Does as many signs and wonders come out of them as they do with him? No, maybe not. But that's what God has allocated to him. So you know what? We need one another in order to make all the whole body fit together. So is it then with the glory of God in the way that God chooses to reveal himself by the ministry of the word? Then God will allocate, say, to some men, an understanding of election. Boy, they comb that election back and forth, and they may deal with it and deal with it, and they come back 8 or 10 years later and they deal with it again, and they uncover things in there and say, Lord have mercy, where did that come from? Where did that come from? God does that. Gifts are like the diamond needle that used to play on the old LP album. That's what the prophet identified it. And that gift sits right down on that album. And what's of the album? The album is the way that they used to press it on there, and the recorded music could be on the albums and little bitty tiny lines, and it would come come out of an analog signal, and whenever you'd set the diamond tip of the needle down there, it would magnify coming through the phonograph and then developed into the stereo. By that, the prophet identifies that as a gift of God. So you take a gift of God and set it down on the Bible. Now, according to what God gifted that gift, certain ones out there say, my, God sent a prophet, God sent a prophet, God sent a prophet. Other diamonds will sit down and they'll say, oh my, we was in his mind before the foundation of the world and the election of God and the predestination of God. Another diamond needle will sit down and say, oh my, by faith we're healed and by faith this, and God can move for you tonight. Boy, they're, oh my, what is it? Very same music, very same Bible, very same message, but the gift wound up in these men's life is what designates the type of music that they bring up. Well, I hope somebody's preaching with me tonight. So you understand that what's it given for the diversity of our needs. What if every man in the message preached like me? There don't need to be one. I mean, I just, stream serve them around the world. Every other preacher could retire. What if every preacher was like Brother Tim? We wouldn't need but one. We wouldn't need but one Brother Darrell Ward. But what did God do? He only made one Tim Pruitt, one Donnie Reagan, one Darrell Ward, one Terry Horn, on and on and on we go. And he diversified those gifts so those gifts would be able to minister to us. Then what do they do? They bring the word that glorifies the kingdom of God, not the man, but the kingdom of God, and the word is revealed. So some preachers then will come and they will help your understanding as far as your walk with God in order to get more victory in your everyday life. Others will come and the revelation will be so profound coming out of their mouth. Oh my goodness, it's like you're just sitting right there, whatever story they're preaching, you're part of the drama. Others will come and maybe you're a little down in your spirit. You need healing in your body. They'll come, it'll elevate your faith to grab a hold of what you need. What is that? That's God moving us from glory to glory to glory. Do we need it all? Yes. Do we still need divine healing? Yes. Do we still need miracles among us? Do we still need encouraging sermons? Oh, darn. Do we still need deep things? Sure we do. So what does God do? God sends those diamond tip needles around and diversifies them, sends them in the body in order to benefit the body, that the body can move to a great crescendo of the rapture when it's all said and done. Now, in that, whenever you find that, you know, my, many times, I hate to say it, but many times it's where you find jealousy among preachers. Now, some preachers cannot stand it if they don't get invited to preach conventions. They can't stand it if they're just called to preach to a small church and all that. But you know what? We should each one just rejoice in God. Whatever God's called us to be happy. If you're the type of singer that's used once every 3 or 4 months, well, just thank God that you're used out once 3 or 4 months. If you're the second on the piano or the third or the fourth or the fifth in line, and you're the third or the fourth or the 16th or the 17th organ player, well, just be glad you're number 17 instead of number 0. If you're the number 4 drummer, number 3 drummer, number 14th bass player, whatever it is, whether you're 1 or 14, the thing should be, Lord, I thank you that I'm chosen to be a part of this body of yours. Amen. So what is that? Whenever you can find people that can be able to say, Brother Devil told me the other day, he'd preached a meeting out in Arizona with a certain brother. And this brother had said about his gift, that his gift was not called to preach conventions, that he was not called to preach big meetings, but he was called to preach to little small handfuls and little small churches. And he travels around different places and preaches to little small groups. And Brother Devil said, Brother Donnie, it just so touched my heart. And he said, the brother really blessed the people. I said, you know why? He has confidence in what God has called him to be. So he's not jealous of this man or that man or that man. So when he stands up there, he has faith in what God's called him to be, and he can operate in that channel and be whatever the Lord wants him to be. That man has moved to a place of glory and his own walk and understanding with God that maybe bigger name preachers haven't arrived to, because they're still competing with this bigger name preacher. And they want to be bigger than him or have more people that's streaming their service. I'd rather have that little guy's position, if you want to call him that. I'd rather have that brother's position that speaks to fewer people, but he has a faith and he has received a glory, and that glory has become personified in his own walk with God. And Brother El said, as the brother spoke, it was just like a deliverance. He said, I sat there and wept. He told me this Wednesday night. I sat there and wept as I heard the man. He thought, Lord, what a blessing. I'm going to tell Brother Donnie about this guy, because I believe he'd be a blessing to the church. So a man then that knows, or a woman that knows their position, and they've actually arrived into a place of glory, somebody can't talk you into that. Somebody can't pray you into it or pray you out of it. The Spirit of God has to reveal it to you. This is who I am. This is where I belong. Look, saints, if you don't have a revelation that I'm your pastor, you need to get one. If you don't have a revelation that Happy Valley is your church, you need to get one. If you don't have a revelation that this message is right, you need to get one. Well, glory. Oh, hallelujah. If you don't have a revelation that you're part of the bride, you need to get that revelation. And you need to come to your spot and quit being babied around and bullied around by the devil. Well, you don't belong. You don't fit. You just say, shut up. Shut up and leave me alone. This is my pastor. This is my church. This is where I belong, and I'm standing here to the rapture. Lord have mercy. Who was that for? Goodness. Somebody just pulled over half of my time away from me. My Lord Jesus. Oh, I love it when he does that. My. Now, what? Notice the glory of God as it's revealed in righteousness and justification. You know, Brother Branham preached, of course, justification for many, many years. And yet, along the lines of a reformed version of what Luther would have spoken. And it was not even truly revealed to the prophet himself until later on, as this justification became expanded in his understanding. When we reached the invisible union, that Brother Branham begins to refer to it, and it was so paramount in his own life that he referred to it a few weeks later and said, be sure and hear that sermon on justification. Now, he called it the sermon of justification, but it's actually invisible union. But it was so profound how that God had revealed it to him to believe that you're not only just forgiven in life, but you never did it in the first place. You see, the prophet did not always have that understanding. Oh, Jesus, here we go again. I'm in trouble. It was not until 1965 that Brother Branham started using the word seed gene and soul and gene of God and all that. Come on. Why? Because the glory of God is just now moving into this phase of his ministry. Now, by this time, he had been so rejected by the Pentecostals and the major denominations, he didn't have hardly any place to preach anymore. And the crowds was getting smaller and smaller, and the miracles were getting fewer and fewer, and it looked like that he was actually being driven off the field, and then the men began to prophesy that God was going to take him off the earth because he was preaching false doctrine. You can imagine now when the Lord decides to remove Brother Branham from the earth at the end of 1965 that many of these false prophets felt they were vindicated because God had taken Brother Branham off the field because he was in such error. If those men would have lived in the days of the Lord Jesus, they would have said the same thing about him, that he was, you know, he's off the word. He might say, I and my father are one. If they lived in the days of Paul, they said the same thing about Paul, because people was leaving Paul right and left. Come on, saints. They was leaving Paul right and left. And Paul got down so poor, he said, I've only got one coat. When you come from Troas, would you bring that coat? This is why Demas looked at him and said, a man like this with a ministry like that, and yet he's come down to a spot to where he only has one coat. He's so poor. He ain't hardly got nothing left. The crowd is falling away. The miracles are dying down. My, there's something wrong with Paul. I can no longer be identified with Paul. So what happened to him? Demas began to lose his intellectual faith. Something began to eat and erode on his faith. And he could no longer have this same confidence that he had in Brother Branham. I mean in Paul. Say Paul, say Brother Branham, say Brother Donnie. It's basically the same thing. Well, praise the Lord. Well, when Brother Donnie was 30 years younger, my, he was so dynamic. Man, I love to hear him how this and that and the other. I'm not anymore, though. He's getting old, you know. He's getting fat and ugly. Always was that anyway. But, there's somebody might just change. Could be the change is you. Praise the Lord. You see, as the word excels in glory, then it will always leave behind those who cannot excel with the pace. And some of the rapid pace will be more revealed more quickly than it will for others. And they'll sit there and say, I don't understand nothing the man's saying. It makes no sense at all to me. I've got to go somewhere else where it's right down to my level. In other words, they've got to sit under a carnal preacher who's not truly born again himself. Or they'll stay home and play tapes. That way they can pick whatever tape they want to listen to. You go to preach to me tonight, they can pick whatever tape they want. This is now the new fivefold ministry. Play, pause, stop, fast forward, rewind. Fivefold ministry. Oh my! That's a lie from the pits of hell. God started out this apostolic message with preachers. He's going to close it out with preachers. Well, he said, I don't like it. Don't make no difference. God's going to do it anyhow. With or without you. Now, we know then that God, as he reveals himself in this way, there's always going to be folks that's going to move, and there's going to be folks that's going to stand still. The real elect of God will always progress with the light of God as the light of God moves. It's always been that way. As it was in the universe when God created it. As the expansion of the stars in the universe, then God began to expand the light. It kept on going, going, going. And the light is still traveling, we know, to this day. And it's the very same thing in the illumination of spiritual light, that when God begins to reveal it, the elect of God are the ones that attach to it from their soul. Others will hear and they say, man, that is something. Boy, I never heard anything like that in my life. And they'll go for a while. It like it draws them. It appeals to them according to their makeup. And there's a certain element of people that this message will draw from a carnal realm. And they will hear certain things about it. Oh, my, that's just really wonderful. That's something. But unless their soul has been illuminated by that word, they'll never endure. They can't. Because as the glory goes on, from glory to glory to glory, from being to the time of courtship up to the time of the espousal, up to the time of the marriage. You see, we preached it years ago that there will be a people called a rejected bride. They will be espoused. There are many folks that's hung around this message that have been espoused, but they will never be presented. And they will actually be identified as a bride, but they will never become a wife. You understand? Now, the bride is one which is actually espoused to a husband, but before the husband ever comes to her, she's found guilty of adultery. That's exactly what the churches have done. But the bride cannot commit adultery. Amen. How can she not do it? Because God has created her in his very image and likeness. He's brought her back past where Adam was. If we were just brought to where Adam was, we could commit adultery, and this thing would go on and on and on again. After 10,000 years, God would redo it again. After so many thousand years, he'd do it again. But he created a bride at Pentecost that could not commit adultery. Oh, hallelujah. Will they make mistakes? Yes. Will they fall short of the glory of God? They will. But in their soul has already crossed the line into eternity, and they cannot get back. They don't want to get back. Oh, my. They'll never be a sinner again. They'll never be lost again because God has created them in that spot of eternity. They can never fall from it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, pray for me that I can hold on till in the morning. Pray for me that I'll be able to hold on till Wednesday night. Get born again. It ain't you holding on. It's him holding on for you. Oh, I don't know if I can make it or not. There's so many people falling away. Well, I know they are, but I'm not going to fall in or falling away. No, sir. I'm not turning back when folks are turning back everywhere. Let them do whatever they want to do. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm doing this because I was ordained before the foundation of the world to do it. Hallelujah. Now, who's doing this? It is God as he's moving his bride from one stage of glory to another. And it is mystical. It is, of course, a movement. But God wants it to be an individual. Now, individually, we're baptized collectively into the body. Hope that makes sense to you. The prophet tells us that. So we're baptized individually, but we're all baptized into the same body, which is called the mystical body of Christ. Then God will advance the body, but he will also advance the individuals. Maybe some of you here tonight are further advanced than others. But when it comes to the rapture, it will all be under the advancement that is required before the rapture can take place. No doubt when the rapture does take place, there will be certain people that will have a greater understanding about certain things of the word than others do, which proves to us that we all won't be exactly on the same level of understanding. No doubt ministers that are called to God to deal with the word, they will have an understanding of the word that maybe you sheep will never have. You know why? You don't need it for where you're called to be. Now, maybe you're a housewife, maybe you're a farmer, factory worker, you don't get a chance to read your Bible and study your Bible the way I would as a preacher or some of these other brothers would. And yet God will not demand of you what he gives to me. But what God will demand of you is what he gives to you personally yourself. It's as if though God has this of your life, even our experiences, the prophet tells us, ordained of God. So it's like God has this of what he wants you to be. And that is your level of understanding, your level of experience, your level of walk with God. This is what God wants you to achieve to. Now my book may be totally different than yours. And your wife's or your husband may be totally different than yours. But what you want to achieve to is what God wants for you as an individual. Now, will we sit back and look at this? Oh man, I wish I could be a prayer warrior like that, brother. But remember when Brother Bram talked about Andrew? He said that Andrew was a prayer warrior. Peter was a firebrand. Paul was a more scholarly type set around. But what if Peter would have tried to have been Paul? It would have never worked. What if Andrew would have tried to have been so-and-so? Well, I'll tell one thing. I wish I could pray all night long. I wish I could pray all night long. I wish I could too, but I can't. After a couple of hours, you're probably going to hear me asleep. I'm just being honest with you and telling you the truth. I believe Brother Darrell could pray 40 days and 40 nights without stopping. And you brothers, it's been here in the prayer meetings. You know how it is. I mean, there's some men, they can just go. Others just pray and pray and pray, and they say the same prayers over and over again. They're better off to do what God has called them to do instead of trying to be like Brother Darrell or be like this brother or that. But you understand? Then what have you done? You understand that you've moved into the glory of maturity and you're what? Hey, friends, I'm going to follow this right now. I'm sorry. I'm just going to go this direction, forget my notes, forget the scripture. God wants us to come to the spot to where we can be able to grow in the level of maturity of what he wants us to be. Maturity is actually a personification of the glory of God. One of the Greek words that Paul used in the New Testament for glory was actually doxa. And it is that glory of God as part of the Shekinah light that God reveals in your life. Now, in your life, it can be right there, hid inside of your life. But it expands itself as it lives out of you and I every day that we're on this earth. And will everybody notice it? Of course not. But that's not what's important anyway. We're not shining our light so that we can be able to blow a horn and say, look what I am. Look what I can do. Look how much I can pray. We want to do it in a way that it'll please our Heavenly Father. Whether or not it makes sense to us, we may look at our lives, and I'm totally convinced that most Christians, when they stand before the Lord, they are going to be overwhelmed by what God did in their life. I believe most preachers never, ever see the full expanse of their ministry in time. I don't think God allows that. I don't believe Brother Branham ever fully saw the outreach of this message. In 1962, taking the size of Jesus, you hear Brother Branham explain it there, and he felt like that actually missed that era of time to where that the apostolic growth of the message should be. He said there should be a church here and one there and one there and one there. He said, but brothers, to be honest with you, he said, I think we have missed that time. He said, what if I'd had preachers over in India? If when I went over there in India, the biggest meeting he said I ever had, maybe 500,000 converts. He said, but what happened to most of them? They went back to the Sikhs, the Jains, and the Buddhists. Why? He said, because I didn't have a church to send them to. I find that so strange. Why didn't Brother Branham set up a tape church and just let the tape be the pastor? Well, come on now. Don't get mad at me. Oh, glory. Now, remember, whenever he went there in 1954 in India, they already had all kinds of tapes. Had been recording since 1947. So if that was God's provided way to set up a tape church, then Brother Branham should have said, all right, now you all stand right here. I'm going to have tapes flown over here, and we'll have tape libraries, and we'll have men up here, the fivefold ministry, push, play, rewind, fast forward, clean heads, and all that sort of thing. And they'll be right here. Boy, we'll have a great church. But Brother Branham was apostolic. He was not a false prophet. It's a false prophet that tells you you don't need the ministry. It's a false prophet that tells you all you need to do is push play. Well, praise the Lord. Come on, saints. Don't get aggravated at me now. Why? Then Brother Branham actually looks at it. He said, but brothers, I believe we've missed that time. He said, it should have been a church there. There should be outposts in the message in Australia. They should be in India. He never saw that in his lifetime. And he actually believed himself, Brother Jim, that it was too late. I thought when Minker heard that the other day, was going up to Arkansas, I thought, oh Lord, I hope you've let him look beyond the banister and lean over the banister of time and look and see churches all over in every nation on the earth. But in his own mind in 1962, he actually thought it is too late. He actually thought the message had done missed that time. It wasn't that the message had missed it. That time hadn't arrived yet for the message. For whatever reason, God never done the message than Brother Branham in the same way that he done Paul. When Paul was here, Paul went around establishing all these churches. Brother Branham never done that. Brother Branham went and he started the Branham Tabernacle. Perry Green started the one Tucson Tabernacle. And then was pretty much a few little handful of churches that followed the message of the hour. Brother Branham never got to go from message church to message church to message church the way I do. The way you do, Brother Terry. Brother Darrell, Brother David, these brothers, what they did, they go from one message church to another. Brother Branham went from a Baptist church to a Pentecostal church to a full gospel businessman. That's where he preached his messages. Why? I don't know. That's the way God did it that way. But think of it now. Now we have moved into another glory. Can you imagine me preaching this in a Catholic church? Can you imagine me preaching this in a charismatic church or a Baptist church? They'd have got rid of me after about the first 5 minutes. I can tell you that right now. But here you folks are sitting smiling like a possum now. Why? Because you've moved up in the glory. You know it's the truth. You know it's the revealed word of the hour. And you know that's where the glory is. The glory, my friend. The glory of this hour, of where we are. It is not just in the introductory stage of the message, although we still introduce people to the message. But the move itself is no longer just rallying around Brother Branham. It's no longer just rallying around hunting stories and fishing stories. I love them, and every time I get around brothers who was with him, I sit there and ask questions and inquire about this and that and the other. It's good to reminisce on what God did, but that ain't the focus of this hour. Amen. The attraction has changed from the prophet to his prophecy. The attraction, amen, has changed. Glory to God. Not only to God having one man stand up to preach the truth, but to bring that to you and I, to our children, to our grandchildren. What do you think Brother Branham would want me to preach if he could give me advice tonight? You think Brother Branham would want me to tell his family, his great-grandchildren sitting here tonight, his children? You think Brother Branham would want me to tell them how great I was, tell them how great I was, tell them how great I was, tell them how many miracles I've done? Or would Brother Branham want me to preach a gospel that would lead his family to a true baptism of the Holy Ghost and fellowship with God, a walk with God where they can say, I know what he's talking about. I know he, I wasn't even there. I must see many of his family sitting here. They never even got to see Brother Branham. But yet here they sit and believe what? No, they're not following a man. It's not a cult of Branhamism. We're not a cult anywhere. That's what people call it. But we are the elect of God. And what are we here for? We're here to hear the word of God that our lives might be changed and brought to a further glory. I don't want to just stay where I am now, friends. I want to be closer to God. Don't you? I want to be closer to God, Brother Ray. I want to have more understanding. I want to have greater understanding. But I do not want it to be my intellectual ability doing it. I want it to be the Spirit of God as He brings me up. He may bring me to a certain level and leave me there for several years. If that's His plan, so be it. But I do not want to stand still myself if He wants me to move on. I don't want to regret. I do not want to go back. I do not want to regress at all and lose ground. I want to keep right on going until my body is changed. Let's stand. Well, I don't mind telling you, sir, you just devastated my pretty little sermon. Wow. I love it when the preacher comes by. Didn't you love it here Wednesday night when the preacher come by and then the healer come by? Oh my. I mean, he wants to go on with the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our brother Jim Maxwell is in the hospital tonight with real needs in his body. I'm sure Brother Louis already maybe mentioned the request. I didn't hear it, but a couple of different things that our brother's dealing with. I believe the glory of our Father is right among his body. Now, it's not a glory to where that it's me or any other preacher and all the focus of that comes right there. Friend, I'm sure you understand, but now those days are gone. God is not focusing on one man. No. He's not focusing on a preacher in Trinidad or a preacher in Johnson City or a preacher in Louisiana. God is focusing on a body. What if your heart focused on one part of your body? What if your heart decided tonight it's going to focus on your right hand? The rest of it would die. Does not my leg deserve blood? Does not my ears deserve blood? Does not the rest of my torso deserve blood? Amen. I want you to join with me in prayer right now. Hallelujah. Don't get in your mind now the glory of the 50s and the glory of the 60s. Oh my, it's going to be like Jacko. It's going to be like A. Allen. Brother Donnie's going to, Brother Dell's going to. No. A lot of it's going to be silent as far as the world's going to know. The healer come right through here Wednesday night. Carol started getting texts either Wednesday night after church or Thursday morning one of people that got healed. None of you had never even known it. But the presence of God, why? He wants the glory. I don't need no glory. You don't need no glory. What I want is the glory of His Word living out of my life. Praise God. Let's pray for our brother Jim Maxwell right now, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, my heart has been so heavy for our brother Jim Maxwell, Lord Jesus. With this, Lord, this infection in his blood. And now, Lord, Sister Linda telling Carol this afternoon he's got another one. And Lord, I'm sure the doctors are trying to do the very best that they know. And Lord, both of these are very serious. Lord, and the doctors basically giving him two options. Lord, they may have to remove his toe if that's the cause of where it's coming from. Lord Jesus, we pray for our brother tonight. Lord God, right there in the hospital, in the name of Jesus, may the presence of God come down in that hospital room, Lord. Lord, as I said when I opened this service, Lord, you didn't promise in your word you'd always keep us from sickness and trouble and heartache, but you promised you'd be with us. You'd be with us even though we'd be sick, and you'd be with us even though we'd become afflicted. Lord, you see the difficulty our brother has had, Father, with this accident several years ago of the tiller, Lord. But may the Spirit of God, I pray, move for him tonight. Lord, as I got this information from Sister Linda this evening, I sent it out on the text of the preacher friends that I have, about 15 different preachers from different parts of the United States and Canada, from the east to the west, asking them to remember our brother. But Lord, we're asking you right now, Lord Jesus, as this local assembly, he's part of our body, part of us, Lord, of our family. We ask you for him tonight. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, would you move for our brother? Lord, maybe there's other needs, Lord, out on the those that are streaming tonight. Father, very critical. Lord, I ask you to move for them. May their faith be able to rise. Lord Jesus, may the glory of God anoint them tonight, Father, that they can receive what they have need of. Right here in this building, the visible audience, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, may the Spirit of God encourage those that are down and lift up those that are weary. Lord Jesus, we worship you tonight, Father. May we be able to follow the glory of God as it's revealed from one stage to another. Who would have ever thought the glory of God could reach a greater stage than it was in the Lord Jesus? Yet, when he ascended up, he told him before he left, it is expedient for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter cannot come. How it must have broke their heart. But the glory was going to change, if we can understand it, to a greater way. Now, instead of God being in one man, God was going to be in many. But we would look at it and think, wow, what could ever be greater than the Lord Jesus? But yet, in his eyes, a body move was a greater work, a continuing of the greatness of that work. Amen. And it's come on, Lord, down to this very day. For some, I know, Lord, it offends them. And they get angry, Lord, because they worship Brother Branham instead of worshiping you. Lord, they want to just emphasize him and to put all that on him. But Lord, to me, from hearing what he had to say, the emphasis that he'd bring, it was not just for him. It was to the bride of Jesus Christ around the world. Oh, Father, how we long, Lord, to be able to walk in that glory. We desire to walk in harmony with you, Lord. I pray for each individual here tonight. Lord, for every member of our church, some that ain't here, Lord, may you move on their hearts as well. Father, we desire to move into a greater glory, Lord. Not a glory of our flesh. Not a glory, well, I know this and I know that. I can sing and I know, Lord, not that. Not glorification of man, but the glory of God. Help us, I pray tonight, Father. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the greatness of your word, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless your name tonight, mighty God. Praise the Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, your name is above all names, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give honor and credit and praise and glory unto your wonderful name tonight, Father. We lift you up. We adore you. We magnify you, blessed God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we just love him a little, saints? Oh, think of what God's done in your life. Think of the glory stages that God has brought you through. Think of the trials. Think of the understanding that you had of the Word maybe 10 years ago and look back and see where you are tonight. Think of the strength of the trials that God could allow you to go through 10, 15 years ago. And look at what some of you's been through in the last 2, 3 years. Some of you been through the most tremendous times of your life. Tests and trials and feel like God's a million miles from you. And yet you're plugging right along anyhow. You're going right on because you love Him and you have no intentions of turning back. Why? Because the glory of God has been revealed to you in a greater way. Amen. Oh, and you're thinking it's shouting, it's jumping, it's running around. That's not glory. That's blessings. If I had to choose between the two, I would rather have glory any day than blessing. Because many, many, many will stand there that day and be blessed of God. And they'll actually be turned into hell. But if we can receive that glory that Jesus said we had with him before the foundation of the world. Oh my, it'll never let you be lost. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you tonight, God. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother Dave Swanson, would you come sing this song for us? It is well with my soul. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This song has been a blessing to many, many people for many, many decades, many years after God gave it to the author many years ago. But there ought to be a glory change revealed with this song as there are with many other songs. To be able to know we're not just planning on dying, some of us is going to be flying. Amen. We're not just got a religion that'll bury us. It's going to change our bodies. God bless you, Brother Dave. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, let's just worship God now as we sing it together. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, sweet Jesus.
When peace, hallelujah, like a river, attend us my way. Oh, when sorrows like sea billows roll, Lord, you have taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. My soul. Oh, let this blessed assurance control.
Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's sing that song y'all were singing at the beginning of the service. I'm so glad I've crossed over the line. Praise be to God. I mean, he's glad you crossed over the line. Ain't no going back. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm so glad I've crossed over the line. Well, I'm so glad I've crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. Amen. Get up a little. Oh, I'm so glad I've crossed over the line. I'm so glad I've crossed over the line that separates the darkness from the light. I've crossed over in time. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Bless your name, Lord. We worship you here tonight, mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, how many can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Well, if you're going through something, friend, just keep it in mind. Well, trial after trial and test after test, the Lord is going to try me till I do my best. Well, trial after trial, test after test, I'm going to be the bride like you and the rest. Trial after trial and test after test, the Lord's going to try me till I be my best. Well, trial after trial, it ain't going to wear me out. Oh, trial after trial and test after test, the Lord's gonna try me till I be my best. Well, trial after trial, test after test may come. Well, trial after trial and test after test, I'm gonna stand for my Jesus like all of the rest. Well, trial after trial, I'm gonna stand for the living God. Oh, I said trial after trial and test after test, my God's gonna try me till I be my best. Trial after trial and test till my Jesus comes. Though my burden may be heavy and my trials be great, I'm gonna stand for my Jesus and walk straight. Well, trial after trial and test till Jesus comes.
Jesus isn't a preacher, he's a songwriter. God bless you. See you in the morning. We'll trial after trial and test after test. My God is going to try me till I be my best. Trial after trial till Jesus comes. We'll trial.